You are listening to the Live Free Experience. I'm your host, Brianna Bowley, trauma coach for high performers. I believe that understanding the nervous system and all its wisdom is the key to creating and experiencing all that we desire. And I believe that honest, anything goes conversation paves the way for us to begin a healing journey that has us continuously stepping into more of who we are. I've been blessed to work with, for, and alongside some of the best of the best in their chosen fields. And it's my pleasure to be the platform to share the wisdom and insights I've gained with each of you. Together, we'll explore trauma-informed performance and optimization, business, and self-expression. So in a world where everything touches everything, I encourage you to listen selfishly and with your own circumstance in mind. As I promise, if you found yourself here, there's a piece of wisdom wanting to land in your world. All right. So I'm a little bit nervous because this is my very first guest episode since the Live Free Experience podcast has relaunched. I'm really fucking excited about this conversation because I have one of my sisters from across the ditch joining me, and I think she's fucking magic, and I know you guys are going to love her. So I'm joined today by Sarah Lee Gibson. First of all, welcome.
Thank you.
You're so
excited.
Welcome. I know. I'm really pumped for this. I'm like, I feel all like gooey and giddy. Let's start off. Do you want to tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do in the world?
Yeah. So I am a self-mastery dating coach, and I basically help women date with ease to attract the love that they deserve. And really what that is, I feel like dating gets easier when we tend to the ways in which we're making it harder for ourselves. And it's so easy to, you know, kind of look at this person and men and blah, 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 and yes to that. And also really looking at the ways in which we can make it easier for ourselves. Mm-hmm. Self-explanatory, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. So talk us through, like, what are the things that you work with easy? Is it like communication? Like, what's, I mean, I obviously kind of have an insider scope, but for the sake of the listeners, what do you think more through?
So I feel like a lot of the women I work with, a lot of people that I see, friends, family, or whatever, who are dating, there's an awareness of what's not working. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's really about bringing the awareness back to self, really. And this comes back to self-mastery. Mm-hmm. Getting to know yourself and how you are, I guess, responding when it comes to dating. And when you know yourself so well, being able to, you know, just make those shifts. It's like, oh, cool. This is how I show up. This is what I do with men. I self-sabotage. I get desperate. And when we know how we are doing that and how that's showing up in our body and how that feels, we can then tend to ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I come in and kind of really expand my clients' awareness so they know themselves so well that they can, and then really go, okay, cool, this is what I'm going to do now. This is what I'm going to take responsibility for. And a lot of it is so funny. A lot of the people I work with tend to be in the hustle and grind. Yeah. And they're so busy, they're so distracted from themselves. And this isn't a blame or shame thing, that, you know, it's just that we tend to play out programs, right? And they get stuck in this hustle and grind and they're so disconnected from themselves. My role is about helping them slow down to reconnect, to go, what the fuck am I doing? Mm. And, oh, okay, cool, I'm doing this. And look at the ways in which they can approach men and dating in a way that's more powerful. Not saying they're powerless, but reconnecting with their power in themselves to be able to go, okay, this isn't working. How else can I do this? And when I talk about the hustle and grind, it's, you know, this boss bitch energy, again, not bad, not wrong, and just really staying busy and disconnected from self and really slowing down to go, oh, this is what I'm doing. And these patterns are playing out, and, you know, this is how I want to shift it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally, totally. I love that your focus is coming back to self, because I think a lot of the time when we hear dating coach, I know for me this has been how I viewed it in the past, there's kind of the assumption that, like, dating is, you know, a dating coach is someone who's like, okay, so when they say this, you're going to say this. Mm. Like, you're going to glance at them for exactly 2 seconds, and then you're going to look away, and then you're going to look back and smile. But don't smile like too big, otherwise it's creepy.
Yeah.
It's like it, and all of the focus is on the other person.
Mm. I love how you brought that up, actually. That's so true. That tends to be the idea that people have when they think of dating coach.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I always think of, have you read the book The Game?
No.
Oh, I haven't read it either, but I have. I've had a lot of conversations with men in my world around like the contents of that book. And it's basically like it goes into things like, you know, like as a man, it makes me cringe. It's like, as a man, the best way to get a woman is like to pay attention to everyone except the woman you're interested in. So like basically play hard to get. And first of all, it makes me want to fucking vom, because a high value woman is not going to be about that. But it's also, it's like putting all of the focus on something outside of you rather than actually like, yeah, like using dating as what I believe dating is actually meant for, which is self-mastery, self-growth, self-awareness, you know, coming back to self. So I really love that that's what you focus on.
Mm.
Like, that's where the power of alchemy comes in.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that you brought this up, actually, because I think that's what part of the reason I got into dating is because I just found some of what I was seeing really superficial, and it used to fuck me off, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's like you're telling people, say this and then they'll get this. And how to fool, con a woman into, like, we're fucking Muppets. Yeah. I mean, there was a time that I was, yes, hello, putting my hands up to that. But yeah, I'm just the complete opposite to that. It's not about manipulation and control. It's about really connecting to how powerful you are, first looking at the shit that is playing out in front of you.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's such a difference in the energy, hey, like the energy of like, I mean, I think either way, dating is ultimately a game.
Mm.
You know, like, I mean, I think life itself is a game, really. But, you know, it's that difference between like the game, which is manipulation. Like, if I look at her or if I look at him for 2.5 seconds exactly, and then I glance away, then that's going to pull him closer.
Yeah.
It's this tit for tat, manipulative, like, I need to do the thing to get him to do the thing.
Yeah.
Versus like, I fucking know who I am. I'm going to stand here in my power, and that's going to magnetize the right people to me.
A fucking men. Yeah. That's what it's about. It's not this, how can I con this one person because they're the only motherfucker on this planet. You know, it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
I love how you said that. Mm.
Yeah. So what got you into being a dating coach? Like, what was the journey for you?
Yeah, so I would say it started because I just was a fucking mess when it came to dating. Literally, like, oh, the girl in the bushes with the dude fucking on somebody else's dick somewhere else. And that actually happened after I had my kids. So I was a solo mom. I did marriage and the whole Christian thing. And then I broke out after. And that's when I was just like, yeah, tits out, you know, pussy everywhere. And I was just like, obviously coming from the whole Christian background and raising my kids that way too, I was in the counseling realm studying, and that really cracked me open. And I realized I could see why I got married and why I was in the Christian, da, 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 da. And so I just went absolutely crazy. It was like from the pendulum swing from one extreme to the other.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did all this shit, and it was so toxic. And well, actually, part of it was like, oh wow, this is cool, I'm enjoying myself. And then it just really I got to the point where I was, it was self-abuse, and also allowing men to do things that I wanted to say no to, and I just didn't. And when I did my own healing, I realized something happened with a guy, and it actually made me aware that wow, this, the dynamic playing out reminded me of my childhood and the man who abused me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, oh, and I mean, this, I don't assume this is how it plays out for everyone, right? Because trauma is different for everyone. And so it was me needing to work on myself.
Mm-hmm.
and realizing, whoa, this is why I am allowing this dynamic here. Like, literally, I was letting myself be used. Mm-hmm. And what was interesting was I was the, before that, very much the, you know, I got my shit together, no one will play me, I know what I'm doing, I'm having sex with people, but I'm in control. And it all just unraveled.
Mm-hmm.
And so I needed to tend to myself. And it was actually dealing to my trauma and looking at myself that started to open the doors. Open the doors. Oh my God. I opened up another realm, basically. I can't think of what I'm trying to say, but it was like I went from putting up with shit to healing to then attracting men that actually honored me.
Yeah.
And because I was starting to do that myself, I was like, whoa, no more to that, you know, no to that, and fuck no to that. Like, I could really see where I was going wrong. So that when I started to have more experiences with men who actually treated me well, and I was in my power, and I was deciding, oh, this isn't really working, you know, and it was with men who were able to have conversations with me around it. Like, it wasn't like there wasn't this big power dynamic. It was more, they were just really beautiful experiences. And then I realized, oh, things are shifting. And then me finding love, and actually going back around that time, I realized I was feeling quite passionate on hearing my friends' experiences with dating.
Mm-hmm.
And I just couldn't shut up about it. Mm-hmm. And I would constantly be like, you know, what about this? Da, 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 da. And then a friend, so I'm answering your question and taking forever. She was a coach and suggested I get into it. Mm-hmm. And I had never thought of it. And I was actually working for her behind the scenes, well, working for other people behind the scenes. And so that's when I got into it.
Beautiful.
Mm.
Beautiful. I love there was a something you said there around, like, as you sort of started to, I can't remember the exact word you used, but ultimately when you started to honor yourself, the caliber of men started to shift, you know, that you started experiencing men who honored you as well.
Exactly.
And I think that's a really key point, you know, like everything I teach is predominantly around trauma and self-regulation, right? So you've just hit on those two points of, like, first of all, healing the trauma. You mentioned the childhood, you know, abuse, and thank you for sharing that little snippet there with us. But then, you know, also that piece of, like, kind of self-regulating and bringing all of the focus back to the way that you were kind of unconsciously perhaps treating yourself, which then shifted, you know, the caliber of men that you were bringing in. So I want to ask, because you mentioned that for you, you know, there was kind of this I'm cautious in using the term slutting around, but I'm going to use it. And I say, like, I say that with zero kind of negativity behind it. I'm just mindful of anyone listening. I want to ask, though, like, in your opinion, what's the difference between, quote unquote, slutting around in a toxic, destructive kind of fashion versus doing it from power? Because I think that there's a time where, quote unquote, slutting around is actually a really powerful experience. So what's your opinion on that?
Good question. I feel like, so if I speak about my personal experience, it was more reactive. I had no control over it.
Yeah.
My impulses had control over me.
Boom. Yeah.
Which meant that other men had control over me because I allowed it.
Yeah.
You know, and I was fooled. I had fooled myself into believing I was powerful and I had control. And that wasn't the truth at all, because it wasn't until I realized when things got out of hand, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking the word sacred slut comes to mind. And I know that will literally, some of the coaching world will be like, I don't give a fuck. Because here's the thing, not everyone wants to be in a committed relationship and is enjoying life. But there's an awareness that comes with doing that. And I know people who are, right?
Mm-hmm.
And knowing, just being really grounded in your power and knowing yourself intimately. Mm-hmm. And I'm not just saying, hey, I know that I did it. It's like, no, it's knowing emotionally. In all areas, like what's my intention here? And who's in control? Who's in the driver's seat? Is it me or is it my trauma?
Yes.
You know, and so that's the kind of difference for me. I don't see it as like a black and white thing.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And I have no problem with people exploring, you know, if they call themselves a slut, whatever. What I would be mindful of is who's actually in the driver's seat.
Yeah.
And what's your intention? Is it a way of copying out of, is it avoidance of other things? Is it just a, you know what I'm meaning, eh?
Totally. Yeah, totally. I love that you said that for you it was a reactive decision making rather than a choice, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I've definitely, when I think back of my own kind of experience over the years, like when I was young, I remember, you know, kind of going through my phase, my explorative phase, but it was very, for me, it came from a place of like not enoughness, and it came from a place of like, you know, these men are giving me attention. So like, maybe if I sleep with them, that will make me enough, you know? And so, yeah, there was that, it was a trauma response. It was the not enoughness. It was wanting to prove myself. It was wanting to get love. It came from survival and it came from starvation. Like it came from getting any little bit of love, attention, affection, closeness, connection with, but they were breadcrumbs, right? Like there was nothing deeper to it. And then I went through a phase of like complete celibacy, you know? And I, but in a way, again, same thing. Like I thought that it was, that I was in my power, but it was actually just yo-yoing to the other end of the spectrum. Yeah, it was falling into the like, I don't need men. Like I'm an independent boss bitch woman and I'm too busy for men. Mm-hmm. But it was kind of a disassociation. It was like numbing out to the fact that I'm a human being who loves to be loved and loves to, you know, experience pleasure and, you know, connection and intimacy and all of those good things. And then over the years, I've kind of found my middle ground. And I think that, I mean, I'm sure there's definitely still blind spots for me, you know, I'm human, but I really feel like when we take all the societal shame that is placed on us around sexuality and just fucking put that shit aside because it's bullshit and it's conditioning.
Yeah.
Sexuality becomes such a beautiful opportunity to really get to know ourselves and to realize like what we deserve. You know, like we deserve, life gets to be this experience of abundance and pleasure and like all the good things. Yeah. And I think the sexuality is like a gateway into that.
Yeah, totally. Love it. I love how you've just kind of pulled that all together.
Yeah. Beautiful. So you posted something which said, the girl boss is dead. Long live the girl. The girl moss lying on the floor of the forest and being absorbed into nature. So that was like a little screenshot that you had. And then you wrote with it, while I am a dating coach, most of the work I do is around boundaries and learning to prioritize self first, because most of the women I work with are living in survival mode thanks to patriarchal conditioning, burnt out and disconnected from their authentic power. Not the hustle and grind shit we have been indoctrinated with. Can we dig into that a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So when it comes to my experience of what I've been working with and with myself is when, even though I am a dating coach, a lot of what women are struggling with comes from, I think we've touched on this a bit anyway, comes from being disconnected from themselves in the first place.
Yeah.
And that comes back to slowing down, slowing the fuck down and being okay with, I'm allowed to rest.
Yeah.
I am allowed to say no. I am, and I think just in those two things kind of sums up, in society it's all about, and I think it's shifting a little bit, but we've all been indoctrinated with this idea that you work hard, you hustle hard, you as a woman, you be just like the men. You're a boss bitch. Da 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 da. Is this answering what?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and they're literally I have been burnt the fuck out, and scrambling for answers. Like this is happening with this guy, and da 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 da. And it's like, whoa, slow down. You know, what's actually happening for you?
Mm.
Breathe. Are you fucking breathing? Half the time we're not breathing properly. Like, it's a thing. And really helping a woman to slow down and come back, connect to how powerful they actually are, as opposed to looking outside of themselves, like, he's not doing this, and, you know, what about this, and his dick's not big enough, and da, 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 da. You know, just kind of waffling here, to be honest, but really just coming back to the basics, which is, and it's so funny because the basics are what we're not taught, because if we're exhausted, if we are just constantly on the grind, that society benefits from that. The systems in place benefit from us being burnt the fuck out. How does this relate to dating? Well, when we're burnt out, when we're not connected to ourselves, when we're not grounded in our power, we do stupid shit. not saying people, ladies, whoever's listening, that you're stupid. It's more that we start acting out as opposed to responding. You know, we're not clear on what's a yes and what's a no, because we're too busy. Yeah, yes, yes, sir, no, sir, da, da, da. And it's like, well, what do you actually want to say? Yeah. How are you actually feeling?
Yeah.
Slow down and here's space. So my work is, here's space to say what you actually want to fucking say. Yeah. And it's okay.
I always use the analogy of, like, you know, if you're in survival mode, you know, I always encourage, like, think of an animal out in the wild. Like, you've got a gazelle cornered by a lion, right? The first thing they're going to do is whatever the fuck they can do, whatever's available to them to avoid being eaten by that motherfucker, right? So it's like, it's instinctual. There's not really like the gazelle's not sitting there like, what do I desire in this moment? Like,
exactly.
What's the highest potential situation? That gazelle's like, get me the fuck out of here. Like, my life's at risk, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, like, you've referred to the boss bitch kind of archetype. And that's a lot of, you know, you and I both work with similar kinds of women, similar archetypes, the burnt out high performer. And yeah, it's like taking those women from being the cornered gazelle who in dating is just doing the first thing that comes to mind, because that's that small gap that they can see where they might be able to outrun this lion.
Yes.
Versus like being the, you know, I always think of like the eagle soaring out over the African plains. Like that eagle's feeling, that eagle's like, like has this broad perspective.
Yeah.
Like he's not freaking out about, you know, about being hunted. He's like, he's got the perspective where he can just chill and make decisions and choose, you know, come from choice rather than reaction.
The nervous system is literally the foundation for your performance and emotional and mental equilibrium. The degree at which you'll allow yourself to stay focused, perform well, and excel in your chosen pursuits, be those vocational, relational, financial, athletic, the list goes on, comes down to how flexible and adaptable your nervous system is through a variety of stresses, pressures, and the joys and pleasures of life as well. Thing is, it's not just about processing the sticky points of life, but processing the ease as well. After working with high performers across business and sport, I took everything I've learned about the nervous system and I packaged it up into my self-paced online program, Rewire the Nervous System. With Rewire the Nervous System, you get access to weekly audio trainings via the exclusive members portal. You get lifetime access to our ever-expanding nervous system regulation toolkit, which means that you have the tools readily available via your device. You get lifetime access to our twice monthly live hot seat coaching calls and your Majesty's Sacred Circle ceremonies, as well as access to the call replays in our growing call vault in the members portal. You'll get weekly tasks, challenges, and journal prompts all relevant to your unique goals and desires. You'll get exclusive access to ongoing support and bonus trainings in the Rewire the Nervous System Facebook group. And of course, you'll get access to a growing, like-minded community of incredible high performers. So if Rewire the Nervous System sounds like the right fit for you, or you want to know a little bit more information, head to www.briannaboley.com/rewirethens or follow the link in the show notes.
that's my interpretation of what you're saying. It's going from being the hunted to not even necessarily the hunter, because you're already fed. You're chilling. You're just, there's nowhere to be, which isn't to say you can't strive for things, but it's like, there's not this desperate energy of like, I need to do something here.
Fuck yes. It's a cruising, like what you shared made me think of kind of cruising from above, perspective from above, and just cruising and picking and choosing.
Yeah.
With awareness, as opposed to, oh, I've got to do this, and fuck, I need to respond to this, and he's not doing this, so, you know, the boss bitch, I'll put the motherfucker in his place, whatever. But there's more of a, there's, it sounds like ease.
Yeah, yeah, totally. I mean, you've seen some of my, you've seen the behind the scenes of my dating world over the last, you know, year or so. And like the shifts for me have been really profound. Like my work over the last 12 months has really been like deep, kind of excavating what's felt like those final kind of threads of like abandonment wounding from childhood. And the shifts in me, like it's, I don't even recognize myself, you know, like I think of last year where my dating world was like, this motherfucker didn't text me back within the period of time that I had as an expectation, but had failed to communicate to him. So I'm not going to reply to him for 24 hours.
Yeah.
You know, like he took 12 hours. I'm going to take 24 because I'm going to punish you for not doing the thing that I think you should do. And now it's like the energy is just like that's not even a thought on my radar. You know, it's kind of like, I'm just doing me. And like,
you're the eagle, bitch.
Yeah, yeah, I'm the fucking eagle. Exactly, exactly. And it's so curious to witness, because it's like, because my focus is on me and me being in my power.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the things that I desire just effortlessly happen, rather than me trying to like white knuckle and grip my way into making it happen. And yeah, it's mind blowing. It blows my mind that, like, you know, like you and I, the way we operate, like it's rare. You know, because as you said, it's like, or at least in my experience in the dating world, I think it's rare. I don't think that there is very many really regulated individuals out there. And that makes me sad, because society's just been so conditioned into that we have to white knuckle our way into connection and intimacy. And people just don't know that there's another way. It's like, motherfucker, look at that eagle in the sky. Like,
I know. Yeah. This is why we do what we do, eh, babe? Like, listening to where you've come from, been sitting here smiling the whole time, and then when you relate it back to, you know, how we're wanting to gift this to other women and them really remember how powerful they actually are, that's, I feel like, why we do what we do.
Yeah. You know, and I love that, like, you and I have very, like, a lot of conversations behind the scenes. And, like one of my favorite things when I get messages from you is, like, you know, those moments in time where maybe, you know, and same in return, like a slight lapse in awareness.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, this motherfucker did this. And then, like, 10 minutes later, it's like, yeah, but I was operating from here.
Yeah.
You know, or like, here's where I failed to communicate, or here's what was being reflected back to me. And it's so potent to just witness the turnaround and the recommitting to being the cause of the effect, rather than being the victim of something outside of us.
Yes, exactly. And society has, and you know, everything that we've learned, childhood programming, we've been conditioned to fall into the victim mode so easily.
Yeah.
And when I use the word victim, I'm not, for those listening, it's not like a bashing and a shaming. Again, it's kind of describing a program that you are playing out that isn't who you are.
Yes.
And our work is to remind you of who the fuck you are, aside from the victim role that we have learned to play out.
Yeah. Yes. I love the way you framed that. That, like, because I think there's such a, like, victim is a loaded term, hey?
Yeah.
You know, like, it's like you're being a victim. I'm not being a victim. Like, you know, or like there's even terms like, victim shaming or, you know, blaming, those sort of things. Like, they're very loaded.
Yeah.
Very, very, very loaded kind of terminology. And I've definitely had that experience where someone has said to me, you know, you're in victim mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, like, I'm and when you frame it like that, that it's just like, oh, you've just forgotten who you are. It's like, oh, okay, cool. Like, I forgot where I put my keys. You know, like, I forgot, I misplaced my purse.
Exactly.
You know, it takes all of the charge out of it. And that's all it is. It's like, you've just forgotten who you are for just a moment.
Yeah, because we didn't, it's not like we popped out of our mum's vagina and was like, I'm going to be a victim. Fuck yes. Yeah. I'm down for that shit. No.
Yeah.
We learnt all of what we have become.
Yeah. And of course we've been programmed to be victims. Like, we don't have to look too hard at society and cultural conditioning. And, you know, I mean, you and I are from different places, but like the world at large is predominantly, and I mean, I'm mindful this all sounds a little bit conspiracy theorist-ish. it has that tone of flavor, but, you know, I do think that they don't want us in our power, you know? So of course we're well versed in how to do the victim thing. And in a way, being a victim is powerful, you know, like, in a way, there's a lot of people who get what they want.
Right? What do you mean? Oh, you mean as a victim, you get what you want?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I've definitely done that. I've played the like, oh, poor me card. And it's like, it's oh, this thing happened to me, or this person said this thing about me, or, you know, and people are like, oh my God, let me soothe that. You know, like, when I was a kid, the prime kind of example I can think of is like, and I'm kind of detouring here a little bit, but I used to work at McDonald's when I was 16.
Mm.
And one thing that really stood out to me was how often you would have people come in and be like, these chips are cold and you forgot to take my pickles off my burger and the drink tastes like water.
Yeah.
And how quickly it was like, oh my God, let me fix that for you. Oh my God, oh my gosh, you know, like, and how rare it was for someone to come in and be like, wow, that was a really delicious meal. Like, wow, that customer service was incredible. And, you know, so it's sort of like the culture of picking and criticizing is so prevalent, while the culture of appreciating and acknowledging is so, you know, small kind of thing. And
yeah,
even in the moments when someone did actually acknowledge things that were done well, it wasn't like, oh my God, like, let's give you a discount for, you know, turning around and acknowledging. But when someone criticized, it was like, oh my God, we'll give you a discount on your next meal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Getting a response based off criticism or playing the victim.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, you know, I really had to work at shifting that in my world.
Same.
Not using being the victim and blaming as a way to get what I want, but instead using celebration and appreciation as a way to get what I want.
Mm.
You know?
Mm.
Yeah. That was a total tangent there, but
we love tangents. We love tangents. And I'm just thinking about how this plays out in dating too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially with men.
Totally.
You're talking about the whole criticism alongside celebration and what was the other word you used?
Appreciation.
Appreciation. It's not common to celebrate and appreciate men. And I get that there are some straight up dickheads, right? I'm not saying they're all, yay, positive love for every motherfucker. No, there's the reality that there's some men have their stuff.
Yeah.
And then when we look at when women are stuck in the criticism and trying to get from men what they want through that avenue as opposed to celebrating and appreciating.
Mm, yeah. I think that's been the biggest game changer for me.
Mm.
You know, realizing that, like, I've really come to love the way men live to serve.
Yeah.
You know, like, a good, healthy, masculine man
just
wants to serve.
Yes.
You know, and like I think of the first person that pops into my head is my beautiful dad. Like, I've you know, over the years had off and on strained relationships with my dad. And I think of the part of me that didn't know better, that didn't understand this stuff. Mm. And it was like, no matter what dad did, he can never get it right with me. You know, and then I realized, I was like, oh my God, like, of course he's worn down. Like, of course he doesn't know how to connect with me because I'm not letting him get it right. Ever, mm-hmm. under any circumstance, you know?
Exactly.
Like, yeah. And then I made that shift. I had that realization and I started actually looking for all the places where he was choosing me and he was loving me and he was, you know, looking after me and supporting me and started actually voicing it to him. And like I look at my relationship with my dad now and it's like, oh my God, you know, and I bring up like my relationship with my dad because, you know, I really think that our dating dynamics are, you know, our relationship with our parents is the first relationship that we have.
Totally.
So naturally our intimate relationships and our, you know, even our friendships, like all of it is mirroring and reflecting that in some way.
Yeah.
But, you know, that piece of moving from criticizing all of the things that someone hasn't got perfect, just appreciating all of the things that they're doing well or doing quote unquote right.
Yeah.
Like changes everything. And I've never been closer to my dad, you know, like our relationship now is incredible. And that was the thing.
Mm.
Just shifting to appreciation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And this isn't something that we talk about a lot.
Yeah.
And I mean, me and you do and will be in our work because we're experiencing the fruits of what we've learned.
Yeah.
And it's powerful when you start to see men for who they actually are, as opposed to what, I guess, coming from the lens of trauma.
Yeah.
And what society is feeding us. And going back to that whole appreciation and celebration versus putting them down constantly and criticizing. Men, I want to say flourish, if it sounds so sounds so prissy or whatever, but they thrive and they open up to us when we do appreciate them for who they are and who they're being,
yeah.
as opposed to honing in constantly on not enough, not doing enough. And
it's that piece around safety, right? Like as humans, we just want to feel safe. Like that's the thing that pulls us out of survival mode, like safety.
Yeah.
And so, you know, of course, it's like if I sit here and was like, Sarah, like you stuttered that word or you could have voiced that a little bit clearer or, you know, you talked for too long there, you're going to be like, oh, fuck, now I'm scared to say anything more because. Whereas if I'm like, oh, I really love the way that you communicated this piece or I really, you know, I feel like you really landed well on that point or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
You're going to relax.
Yes.
You know, and you're going to kind of, as you said, there's that word flourish. You're going to step even further into like showing up. And yeah, that's what humans want ultimately, to feel safe, to feel seen, to feel appreciated.
And that's when I started to, going back to that whole safety thing, notice that things were changing for me because I had a lot of men start to say, I just feel so safe with you.
Yes.
Like, you're just so easy to be with. I just feel like I can tell you anything. And even in saying that, a lot of them would get to the point where they would realize I would already know, but be like, I don't think this is working. I feel like I need to work on myself or da da da. And so there wasn't any toxic, like I had experienced in the past. There wasn't a toxic, what do you call it when you decide to part ways? It was just like an understanding. Yeah, cool. This doesn't work. It actually doesn't work for me. It doesn't for you. And then it would just be really calm and peaceful. And I was like, wow, what the fuck's happening?
Yeah.
And it all came back to, I was starting to feel safe within myself. Men were starting to reflect that and they were feeling safe with me. And then we were able to, just going back to those experiences made me realize that me working on myself made a huge difference in how men were showing up for me.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think ultimately, like any criticism we have of something outside of us is just a reflection of our own criticism of ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, like we learn to accept others when we learn how to accept the parts of ourselves that we don't love. And yeah, I mean, I think back of how much I used to criticize my dad or I used to criticize former partners or lovers. And that was just mirroring me. That was just mirroring that I hadn't yet learned how to love certain parts of myself. Whereas, yeah, now that I've sort of softened the way I treat myself, I'm able to, and I don't always get it perfect because human, I'm definitely able to more actively appreciate the efforts that people do put in, even if they're not perfect.
Totally.
Yeah. I remember a friend said to me last year, and this really landed for me. She said, you know, men want the woman that is easy to make happy.
Hmm.
And I was like, oh my God, no shit. Like, and yeah. So the woman who's consistently criticizing, it's like, well, they're like, oh, I'm failing at making her happy.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, the woman who is easily pleased, who lights up at a sunset, or who who fully tastes her ice cream, or, you know, just like loves nothing more than being gifted sunflowers, or, you know, yeah. like minor little things.
Yeah.
The woman who is really present with life.
Yeah.
And like all of the seemingly the small everyday shit that people kind of look over, like when we can learn to be lit up by those things, that's when we become magnetic, because it's like, oh, I can make that woman happy.
Yeah. Yeah. And we end up not wanting anything as desperately as we did before.
It's, yeah.
We're so full. We just feel nourished.
Yes.
We feel whole. We feel grounded. And I'm not talking about perfection. I'm just talking about a wholeness and a connection to self that is just so fucking juicy that you stop wanting from others what you have already given to, because you've already given it to yourself.
Yeah, totally.
And that's the work that you and I both do.
Yeah, totally. Is
helping women reconnect to that within themselves.
Yeah, it's that difference between, like, as a former fitness model, I've done a lot of dieting. It's that difference between, like, when you're hungry. I mean, I never starved myself, but I'm going to use the term starvation. When you're in a state of starvation, you'll eat whatever.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're like, just give me some fucking food. And then it's like, that's not enough. I want more. Like, give me more rice. Give me more chicken. Give me more broccoli.
Yeah.
Like, I want a fucking block of chocolate. Like, this broccoli is not good enough. Like, give me some ice cream or something.
Broccoli. Fuck the broccoli.
Right? Versus, like, when you're already fed, when you're nourished, when you're, like you said, when you're full, it's like, man, anything else is bonus. And I could accept that chocolate bar or that spoonful of ice cream. And yeah, that's the difference. Like, when we learn how to have a full life and a full connection to ourselves, like, dating becomes bonus. Like, that's the cherry on top of a wicked bowl of ice cream versus being the thing that it's like, I need that, otherwise I'm going to starve.
Yes. Fuck yes.
Yeah.
I love how you've just summed that all up. I'm excited. I'm excited for anyone who works with you and works with me.
Hell yes. So with that, where can people find you and how can they work with you?
So the Sarah Lee Gibson, Facebook or Instagram, the best way to work with me would be to DM me. There's also a link in my bio on both Facebook and Instagram.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And so basically what you have heard sums up part of the foundation of the work that I do, or basically sums it up. And if you have any questions, please DM me anything. Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful. And I just want to say for the listeners, as always, I will pop Sarah's links and everything in the show notes. So you can just click through if you didn't manage to catch that. Sarah, is there anything that you want to add before we wrap it up?
No, I've had fun. This was awesome.
Yeah.
And just, I guess I just do want to add there that women who are wanting to date with ease and attract and create the love they deserve, if that sounds like you, then yes, hit me up.
Beautiful. I want to just kind of close this off with a little acknowledgement to you, if that's okay. And for the listener's sake as well, what I will say is that, Sarah, you are a real one. You are real. And I wholeheartedly believe in the work that you do, and I don't say that lightly. I don't kind of throw out compliments when it comes to coaching, the coaching world. I don't throw out compliments for the sake of it. But I've had the pleasure of, you know, kind of getting advice from you over the years, and yeah, you fucking get this stuff. You get this stuff, and you do it from such a beautiful, grounded place. I really think that your work provides long-lasting transformation to people, not just this surface-level kind of quick fix. So, yeah, to anyone listening, if you feel a pull to Sarah and her work, I can't recommend her highly enough. So thank you for the work that you do, Sarah.
Oh, thank you, babe. I love you.
I love you too. Thank you for being on the show. You popped my relaunch cherry. You're the very first person that I've had on. So
Tear that cherry out. It's Beyonce, by the way.
All right. Thank you so much. Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
You too.
Yay.
Yeah. I love you, bitch.
Love you too.
This brings us to the end of another episode of the Live Free Experience. To say thank you for your support in our relaunch, I want to offer you a live and free coaching masterclass. High Performance Nervous System Regulation is a 1-hour masterclass experience designed to support you in mental and emotional regulation for high pressure situations. This is perfect for you if you're looking to further develop your athletic career, your business management skills, or your mental, emotional, and relational skill sets. Nervous system regulation is key in living the life of your dreams, and think of this as the next level version of nervous system regulation, so that you can make grounded, centered, and non-reactive decisions in high speed and high stakes circumstances. To sign up or register for the replay if you can't make it live, head to www.thelivefreeexperience.com and enter your details. Lastly, I'm a real human back here and I would love your feedback. Please drop me a review or reach out and let me know what you've gained from the episode. Even better still, tag me in your social media stories and I can share your learnings across to my story too. You can connect with me on Instagram at www.instagram.com/BriannaBowley. Thank you for being here, and until next time, know that you are seen, you are appreciated, and you are loved.